I'm Mark Bayshore. 2 years ago, our next guest made history in East Lansing. At age 30, City Councilman Nathan Triplett became the youngest mayor in the city's history. Triplett was first elected to the council in 2007, but he began his service to the city even earlier, working on the city's Human Rights Commission while attending Michigan State University. Mayor Triplett was defeated in his re-election bid last week. Next Tuesday evening, he'll relinquish his duties as mayor at the upcoming city council meeting. He joins us now in the studio to talk about his tenure and the future. Nathan Triplett, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
Your loss in the last election was a surprise to many people in the community. Was it to you?
I mean, obviously, whenever you're running for election, you know it's a possibility. And I think certainly it was a little bit of a surprise. But I think on balance, given the way that the campaign was going and sort of the steady drumbeat of negativity that we'd been dealing with for about 10 months, it wasn't shocking. Mm-hmm.
Mark Meadows, who will be rejoining the city council next Tuesday, said on this program last week that support for you in polling went away during the last couple of weeks of the campaign and was linked to negative campaigning, which is linked to mailers sent out by the Greater Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce, which interestingly endorsed you and Mark Meadows and Shanna Dreheim. Let's listen back to Mark Meadows' comments last week.
That drop seemed to start almost immediately after the negative campaigning in the community began by the chamber. So I think that you can link the two of those together, that prior to that time, Nathan seemed to poll in second place pretty consistently, but there was a precipitous drop after that negative campaigning began.
Was that your undoing?
I don't believe so. I think Mark's identified the perhaps the cause, but misidentified the culprit in this case. You know, this campaign, I think if you look over the course of the last 25 years in East Lansing politics, was certainly one of the most negative, and the chamber's mail was part of that. But it was a negative campaign from day one from some of my opponents, and I think that clearly had an impact. And whenever you're trying to build something up, it's more difficult than tearing something down. And when you add to that being the only incumbent in the race, I think that that process, frankly, started a lot earlier. And the chamber mail may have ended up being a contributing factor, but I don't believe it was decisive.
He was victorious. He told the Lansing City Pulse this week, quote, "I think there will be a delay in development," unquote. And the results of the election are being, I think, widely interpreted as a desire for a more cautious approach to development. Is the reason you're out because you were too preoccupied with development, too eager to offer tax breaks and incentives to developers?
I don't believe so. I think there certainly is an element of community frustration, which frankly I share with the length of time it's taken to deal with the corner of Abbott and Grand River, the former City Center 2 project now, the Park District. I think some of this language actually becomes code in our community. So when people talk about blight or development, more often than not what they're talking about is that corner. And I think that's a reasonable frustration, although I think, again, misidentifying the cause, that is clearly a challenge created by a lack of financial wherewithal on the part of the private property owners, not the city government, that had approved not one but two site plans there. And I think this is a great example of how you campaign in poetry but are forced to govern in prose. No matter how many times it's repeated, it won't be the case that the city gives tax breaks or giveaways to these developments. We do use tax increment financing to help support public spaces and public infrastructure, but it's very difficult when you actually talk to a resident and explain we're using public money to fund things like sewers and the Ann Street Plaza that they're able to come away with that thinking, yep, that's a giveaway. It's a great campaign tactic. It just has very little relevance for how government actually operates.
And this can get very confusing here because many residents of East Lansing, I'm sure you'd agree, would prefer to have seen action on the Strathmore property years ago, yet we're hearing of more caution. And caution, I think you'd agree, is probably important, but more of it would seem to suggest an even longer wait for redevelopment on the corner of Abbott in Grand River. There's a very mixed message there, it seems to me. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. I think the fact of the matter is this is not a process issue when it comes to that corner. We have had more public hearings, more charrettes, more community input opportunities, all of which have yielded essentially the same result in terms of the outline of what residents want to see there. The issue isn't that the community doesn't know what they want on that corner. The issue is having a private sector partner with the financial wherewithal to be able to build the project that they've proposed. And that's something that the new council will have to grapple with. It's not within their power to make the financing work for that project. That's up to the private sector. That's what has been a challenge for us for the last several years, and it will continue to be a challenge for the new council dealing with that reality.
Nathan Triplett is our guest here on WKAR's Current State. What do you think is most likely to happen on the corner? It appears it'll go back to the bank early next year. Is there a consensus view on that?
Well, what we do know is that the foreclosure process has moved forward. It's now in the redemption period. The current property owner will have until early 2016 to be able to regain the property by paying the money that is due on that loan. If he's unable to do that, the lenders will then possess that property free of his redemption rights, at which point they could sell it to another interested owner. I think in the long run, what will have to happen for that property to be successful is the lender will have to sell that property to a new owner with the financial wherewithal to build a project, which is critical for seeing it move forward, but ultimately is not in the control of the city. That's a private transaction that clearly the new council and city staff will take great interest in, but they won't have a role, just as we have not had a role in those private transactions in making it happen.
How long of a list of potential developers for that space exists? Is this a pretty small club of people who really have the wherewithal to turn that around?
Well, I think actually it could be a fairly lengthy list depending on how willing to negotiate the lender is in this case. It has always been a challenge there when you have someone in possession of the property, be it the owner or a lender, who's trying to get significantly above market price for those parcels. So I think if you have a scenario where the lender is willing to be reasonable, that the attractiveness of that parcel could lead to a situation where there is an owner with wherewithal there. But again, those are all private transactions that we'll all watch with great interest, but ultimately the city will not have control over.
And for the record, who is the lender?
DDR.
Who is that?
So DDR is a financing company that's been involved with lending on this project from the beginning. So it's not actually a bank. It's a group of individuals who have pooled resources to be able to invest in projects like this.
This is Mid-Michigan
Regional, not Mid-Michigan. Regional.
Okay. Yeah. What other thoughts do you have about how the new council might reshape the direction in East Lansing?
Well, my primary hope for the new council is not just during this campaign, but frankly over the course of the last couple of years. I think the quality of our community dialogue has suffered. It's been divisive, and I think that for us to be able to tackle some of the challenges that remain, and perhaps more importantly, to figure out innovative ways to move our community forward, we have to get over that division. So there was an intense campaign. The voters have decided the direction that they want to head, and I hope that the new council will stay focused on being able to set aside those disagreements that existed on the campaign trail and focus on putting what's best for the community forward and creating a dialogue that really is welcoming to everyone in the community and not just to a preferred subset.
And what exactly led to this change in the dialogue?
Well, I think you've seen a lot of things, and this is not a unique phenomenon to East Lansing. Certainly there has been some community organizing that has happened among residents who are essentially anti-growth that may have lit the fire. But when you combine with that candidates who have a more narrow scope of issues that they're focusing on and the local media landscape here in this region in particular, the rise of blogs that are motivated by a certain ideological bent, again, not unique to East Lansing at all. You see this at every level of government and in local governments across Michigan. Those are not factors that combine to create a positive community dialogue. What they do create is an intense but often negative community dialogue that perhaps most importantly completely obscures the nuance that surrounds many difficult policy issues that government faces generally and local government like East Lansing faces in particular.
We just have a little bit of time. Talk to us about the role you want to play in the next couple of years. Are you going to drop out? You're going to just cleanse the palate here, or are you going to stay involved?
No, certainly not. I plan on staying involved. Community service is in my blood. It has been since I was a very young man. Figuring out exactly where I think I can have the most impact will take a little time. And honestly, here in the immediate future, my wife and I are expecting our first child any day now, so we'll be focused on our son and having an opportunity to enjoy those days with him that we'll never get back.
Well, we've been talking with the mayor of East Lansing, Nathan Triplett. He's been on the city council for 8 years and served as mayor for the last two. He will step down as mayor on Tuesday. We wish you the best. Congratulations on the new arrival. We hope that all goes well, and we commend you for your service.
Thanks for having me, and thank you very much.